And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yep. No fear here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, 9A, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. Dr. Judy Mikovits, get us an update on what's up with, you know, a lot of things going on with the FDA, the CDC, vaccines, you know, damage and so on, and the courts and everything. We were to have her on last week, and we put her off another week. You know, thank you for doing that, Dr. Judy. We had a special show that we wanted to do, and we just, rescheduled you, and you were very cooperative. Thank you. Now, what I want to do is Dr. Judy Mikovits is a scientist. You know, back in the day doing and, you know, mapping out and retroviruses and HIV and knowing kind of, and then they start working in how your immune system is affected by and so on. And then they come across vaccines. Whoa, what's this retroviruses and Mises pieces and stuff and done kind of what the hell? You know, so a lot of things are coming out. Well, you just went to a conference, one conversation conference in Atlanta where the CDC is just this month. You know, I want you to, you know, give us an update on it. That's what I was looking forward to in the shows, to tell me everything.
Right. Well, this was an interesting conference because it wasn't actually a conference. It was scheduled to be a debate. It was called One Conversation at a Time, so you can find it at oneconversationatatime.com, and you can see the entire debate. It was supposed to be between, let's just say, so-called pro-vaccine people like Paul Offit and Dr. Plotkin and several others against, I guess we should have to just say, anti-vaccine or the safe vaccine component. Del Bigtree leading the way, Dr. Tony Bark, Dr. Chris Shaw,
bunch Gail of people. Is there a test? Do I got to remember these guys?
No. So if you'll see them all, and you know, Dr. David Lewis, Dr. James Lyons Weiler, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who's done a lot of work, as all of these people, you know, done a lot of work to reveal the lack of safety testing, the lack of efficacy testing, the lack of, you know, essentially any science and validation around today's current vaccine schedule. So this debate was planned for more than a year. And at the last minute, literally 3 or 4 weeks ago, Emory, or before the event, it was October 11th there in Atlanta, Emory University canceled out, and every one of the so-called pro-vaccine scientists and experts canceled out. Now, several of them canceled out because their bosses refused to let them go. So the whole idea is that the scientists that were willing to speak and the infectious disease experts that were willing to speak, their bosses told them, of course, you can't speak. Dr. Bob Sears, who we all know, the pediatrician who was a threat to the mandatory vaccine laws. So they started going after his medical license and things like that. He's here in California.
You know, this I've seen on a lot of things, you know, guys that have, you know, cancer cures, or they talk about nutrition as a cure for this, or you lick this frog, or, you know, suck on this rock or whatever the heck, and cures people. And all of a sudden you're a quack and they come after you. It doesn't matter about the data. It doesn't matter that it does it. It's that they have the mechanism in place that those that challenge Big Pharma or the medical industry, that they have the ability to go after you. What is that ability? What are these medical boards, some legislation, law? How is that? I see it happen all the time. Do they got regulatory capture on all these levels?
Yes, and the American Association of Pediatricians, the body of pediatricians like Bob Sears is in, and the AAP says you will vaccinate and you will vaccinate according to the CDC schedule, and doctors who disagree, just, you know, they have enough power to remove your license.
Okay, now my children are, you know, the younger grandkid, we have 11 that goes from like 10 months or something all the way up to 18. So I'm going, okay, these kids, they are constantly, you know, now it's Gardasil. As you get older, healthy, you don't even have to get older. They want Gardasil as for girls, you know, sexually active, you know, get the something. And then and we do the boys too, because what the hell, you know, and we got all these mandates. Here in Arizona, they're a little bit more informed. No. Well, the pediatricians get some kind of bonus. That's what I want to talk about. But my kids are, they go, nope, we're finding naturopathic pediatrician of going, we're not being hounded every freaking time you go in for well baby visits. And what the hell are you even going for? You know, I don't even know what that's about. It's just an opportunity for them to stab your kid again. And I'm going, no, when they're sick, and our kids, they're not sick. You know, the ones that haven't been vaccinated, they're just like, they're going, because we have 3 stepchildren also, but and they're pretty healthy, but they have had problems. We had fungal meningitis, one really took a hit on one of our granddaughters, but step-granddaughter. But the 8 other kids, they're like, or 9, do I got 9? Yeah, 8. Yeah, 8 of the biological grandkids that we have, they didn't get vaccinated, and they're healthy. They never get sick. They go like this. They go, Papa, I'm sick. And I go, yeah, that, you don't know what sick is, okay? So, and now, you know, one time they got chicken pox for like 2.5 days, and it was done, and then their friend, see, don't you wish you got the vaccination? No, I'm good.
Right.
They got chicken pox. They go around. When we were kids, you had to go like, you know, play with them or lick their face or something. You know, they wanted you to get it and be done with it. Now, the thing is that these pediatricians, there's some financial incentive for them to do this. There's a percentage ranking. I want you to describe that and what kind of incentives they have and the pressure for them to get all their patients. In fact, if you won't vaccinate, they don't want you as a patient. You're messing up their percentage. So how does that work?
How it works is they get kickbacks from the federal government, health insurance. They're all tied together, the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American College of Physicians. So they get kickbacks as parts of their practice. If they get, let's just say, is 65% of their practice vaccinated on the schedule with everything, they get so much per child, something in the order of $400 every time somebody walks in your door. Or you get that for simply administering those shots. And then at the end of the day, if you get a certain percentage of your practice, which is like 65 or 75%, you get literally a $40,000 to $100,000 bonus, depending on if it's 100 kids or 200 kids. I mean, the kind of bonuses that they're getting yearly,
boat,
annually for vaccinating.
Come here, kid. I need a boat.
Yep.
We're going to get us that boat. And they're adamant about it, too. It may be able to, whether they can pay their rent or not. They're like, you know, they don't care about your kid. Come here, man. You know what we do?
Yeah.
So I'm, and of course, these doctors are limited. They have no liability. You know, they give this shot. They can't be sued for whatever damage. So the one thing when we come back, I want to talk about the financial incentives. They can't be profitable to the drug company $400 a whack when they come in to, you know, for a $20 shot. They're making the money up somewhere else. We'll find out. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Dr. Judy Mikovits going, doing the extra work so you don't have to, on understanding what's going on in this whole industry. And I want to get to the finance. There's all kinds of stuff that some news that we'll get to. But, you know, the financial incentives are such that they just want you to get the shot, even if it costs them money for you to do it. You know, if they take a loss, all the incentives are to get. Why? Where's the back end? How are they? You know, what's this loss leader for? It's making you sick. So that they got all kinds of other goodies later, they're going to fix you. But I'm sorry you got this problem from this, or you don't even know why. The whole human race is being altered. You know, this is one thing that we haven't talked about in a while. I remember we spent a lot of time on this early on. Retroviruses. Now, explain to the people real quick the difference between a virus and a retrovirus and what's it doing in the vaccines and how it affects your DNA and the cell nucleus. Go retro. Tell me all about it.
Retroviruses simply reverse transcribes, go backward their genome and insert their genetics directly into your DNA. And so every animal species has a large component of their DNA, which is crippled retroviruses, because these can't be expressed, or they cause damage, or they alter your immune response, or they cause a autoimmune reaction because your system says, oh, that's a foreign body. That's something that shouldn't be here expressed. And it makes your immune response will mount an immune response that can damage you.
So this is like an autoimmune means that It is your immune system attacking your own body. And the reason it's attacking your own body is you have DNA viruses and RNA viruses. Retroviruses work differently. DNA viruses goes into your cell, uses the resources of the cell to replicate itself. RNA viruses goes into your cell and merges with your DNA to make the Marvel superhuman strength of something.
Right. It writes its RNA into DNA. It cuts open your DNA. It sits there for the life of your DNA. And I mean several generations. So if it gets into your immune cells, every time your immune cells are going to fight any kind of infection, you are expressing those retroviruses. They infect more cells, and sooner or later you get acquired immune deficiencies. That's what HIV was. So it's the expression of the retrovirus and the fact that it stays in the DNA of your cells through the life of your cells, including the next generation. So you can literally give your grandchildren your retroviruses as part of the DNA they inherit from their parents. And so every one of these vaccines has, for instance, the flu vaccines contained three bird avian retroviruses. So every time you get inoculated with a flu vaccine, you are taking the risk that that virus, those bird avian retroviruses, because they're grown in chicken eggs, those bird viruses become part of your DNA forever. And if they hit the right spot or the right time, or you're susceptible or immune compromised and you can't silence them, you can't cripple them, you get sick.
Or you can grow, feathers for hair and you're not bald anymore.
You get cancer.
Are you chick, 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 chick?
That's right. So that's so it's not so much a single event which your immune system might be able to clear the virus. It might not integrate in a place in your DNA. It might not insert itself in a place that causes damage. But every one of these shots contains not just one, but dozens. You've got calf serum. You've got cow blood. You've got dog cells. You've got human cells from other people, from infants, from fetuses. All of those contain retroviruses, and you're injecting them. They don't have to infect
you. Now, retrovirus, when was the discovery of retrovirus? I mean, has this always been a known thing? How was this discovered?
Well, human pathogenic retroviruses were discovered by my mentor and colleague here in Carlsbad, Dr. Frank Rossetti. So he was the first to isolate in 1980 with Bernie Poise at the National Cancer Institute. That when I went to work for him a couple of years later, that's why my whole work surrounds how retroviruses cause disease. We've known about animal retroviruses for 100 years when Peyton Rouse discovered one of the first animal retrovirus. So Frank Rossetti, so from 1975 when he started his NIH research, was told don't bother looking for disease-causing human retroviruses because they don't exist. Well, what we found in the 40 years since he isolated the first human cancer-causing and autoimmune disease-causing family called human T-cell leukemia or lymphotropic viruses. Since that time, right after that, we isolated HIV, a causative agent of AIDS. And so on and on and on. And of course, in 2009, we isolated families with autism, from families with cancer, with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, with prostate cancer, with the breast cancer, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, myalgic encephalomyelitis. From all of these different patients, we isolated viruses that were a new family of disease causing retroviruses called murine leukemia virus, xenotropic, because they're not in a mouse, they're in a human, murine leukemia virus. So they're related to viruses that cause leukemia in mice. And we're finding them in humans. And in 2011, they shut down our work, Dr. Rossetti's and my work, you know, kicked us out of all research, fabricated crimes against me, you know, made all the data go away, Andy Wakefield style, vaxxed style, if you haven't seen the movie. Fabricated studies that say, no, she's just a fool, or they're just ridiculous.
Okay, they're now fraud. What was it they went after you for? Because you isolated that there were retroviruses starting to trans species, all of a sudden now we're seeing them in humans, and how'd they get there? And they go, nope, you're not allowed.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, so what we found, we were allowed in the beginning because nobody knew how they got there. So it was a big deal when the paper came out in Science, because of course we've now figured out a cause of diseases that had no cause, and then you've got a treatment, particularly for ME/CFS, which is, you know, was at least 17 million people worldwide at the time. But when we found that the most likely way they got into humans was via vaccines, that was when they shut us down.
Boom! You said the wrong thing. You said the wrong thing. Not allowed, not allowed. Well, it's because a lot of people don't know when you say retrovirus, it's a retrovirus. What the hell is a retrovirus? So, you know, stay tuned. We'll go over and get kind of this. We got some news and conferences, and this is all coming out, but we need to understand what's coming out.
Radio is the most personal of media.
Yeah, when we come back, let's do a refresher on that, because I think this is interesting, you know, for me, you know, when we first did this years ago, is that humans did not have retroviruses, and they came.
Well, they do. They're called endogenous. And they came for millions of years out of other animals. They jump species, and humans break them all up. So 10% of your DNA is busted up, incompetent, not infectious and transmissible, called endogenous retroviruses. But now we're taking, you know, now we're taking animal retroviruses from cow blood in these vaccines, and we're directly injecting them into humans.
Okay, I need to have an understanding of, you know, the justification. See, now that they know that it's causing autoimmune problems, it's having your body replicate, you know, and generate, you know, RNA resequence, did DNA, all of a sudden some weird that doesn't recognize yourself, and you're looking like a Marvel, you know, morphine venom freaking commercial with a parasite or whatever. And I'm going, as this stuff happens, they have to know. I mean, certainly your research told them to know, but they don't want to fix it, or they want to make it worse. They want to keep doing it. Why? Is it to create sick people to buy more pharma? Are they trying to create X-Men? Are they trying to soft kill us or set us up to where they flip a frequency and we all blow up? You know, like Mars Attacks, we play some country song, go, ooh, boom, and our heads explode. See, I'm just wondering what the goal is. Is it just money? Is it what? There's something more deeper, sinister James Bond movie stuff going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's all of that. They don't want to fix it. In the beginning, when they thought it was localized and fixable and nobody knew how people got these viruses, how these virus animal retroviruses got into people and started causing the same diseases they're causing in people, and I mean cancer. Now you've got the Children's Health Defense Fund and Bobby Kennedy just this week publishing an article all about the huge increase in childhood cancer rates, and they're the kind of cancers that I just named.
Okay, when we come back, let's talk about Kennedy's thing, and then the conference that you went to, what was the main result of that, and where we are at the CDC, you know, who died recently. I mean, you know, what kind of, you know, crap they're going after. And yeah. Then what legislation has been passed and what the opposition to. Because when they do the purging on Facebook, I guarantee there was a whole bunch of you guys that somebody's page or something got taken down.
Oh, sure. Everything's purging. Everything's being purged. In fact, you know, that's when you go look for the financial incentives. It was actually, I just looked. And it was actually,
okay. Well, hold on. Let's talk about that when we come back.
All right.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Won't be fooled probably again and 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 again until somebody you know, kind of gets it out there for any and everybody that wants to know what's going on, and they have it there, and you go look and you go, oh, okay, and then they take it away. When the Facebook did their purging and so on, there was, I guarantee, that a bunch of this stuff and documentation and information and pages that were out there, and it's gone, you know. So Dr. Judy, did they purge a bunch of this information from Facebook and other places? Did they?
Yeah, from the internet. So I just looked up based on the first few minutes we were talking about the history of the incentives, or the financial incentives for vaccination. And those financial incentives were actually provided by Blue Cross Blue Shield. And it was exactly what I said it was. In 100 patients, it's $40,000 back from Blue Cross Blue Shield to the doctor's offices if their patients are vaccinated. So it was.
You see, this is an insurance company that's saying our insurance claims are less, at least that's their argument, if you vaccinate. But that's not the evidence. So why would an insurance company want to do that?
Because they're getting lots of money kicked back from Big Pharma and from the federal government. You know, the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and the federal government, they buy these vaccines, billions and billions of dollars worth of these vaccines. Nobody can afford. I mean, the taxpayers are paying for this. You know, there's a 75-cent addition to every single vaccine for vaccine court, for paying out for injuries, because that's coming right out of the taxpayers' pocket.
Yeah, but there, I mean, it's been billions of dollars that they paid out, but I mean, you're talking gazillion trillion dollars of profit.
Correct.
And and they're, is it start the claim starting to ramp? Because they're starting to go, nope, they're just got a whole campaign of you're not allowed to, you're gonna drag it out for years and you're dead. You know, so I'm wondering, is it just a show?
Yeah, I mean, it's a farce. It's the worst kangaroo court I've ever seen. I was testifying for a victim of Gardasil injury on September 25th. Interestingly, that victim came to the One Conversation at a Time in Atlanta, because they, like most people, go into this saying, oh, you said if my child got hurt, you would protect them. Here they've been in vaccine court for 5 years, a clear bias by the judge, clear bias by the DOJ, the Department of Justice lawyers, who are in fact showing, you know, pictures of us, of me at conferences talking about retrovirus contamination and the contamination of these viruses.
Crazy woman. You must be crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Talking about my checkered past. I think they wrote generously stated checkered past.
No.
As if I have no credibility, which is no problem with me at all, because they don't want me talking, and they think if they refuse to pay me, which doesn't matter at all, that I won't show up. But we were able to, you know, to get to this family. And while this family was, you know, literally, I mean, you know, devastated by the process, which was not the intention. The intention of the law was this money was supposed to compensate injuries, with the recognition that vaccines were so-called unavoidably unsafe and a public health measure. Well, cervical cancer is not a public health risk. Cervical cancer is not an infectious disease prevented by a vaccine, and yet the Gardasil vaccination, and that's exactly what I said on the tape they showed, is a public health risk. So at the end of one conversation at a time, I asked the panel, which is a public health risk, Gardasil or cervical cancer? And every one of them said Gardasil. And in fact, there is a case right now that we are working on in vaccine court of Gardasil causing a myelogenous leukemia, which would fit exactly our arguments of the viral and retroviral contamination.
Yeah, this retrovirus thing, just once I find out that you're putting in other species, you know, hell, at least they're mammals, I guess, but other species into you with the retroviruses that are maybe normal to that species, but is able to change your DNA for generations. That's just that somebody's using us as guinea pigs. There's some weird thing, and worldwide too. You know,
absolutely.
Well, this Kennedy report you were talking about, RFK Kennedy's report recently of doing something. What was that about?
Yeah, if you go to childrenshealthdefense.org, you're going to see yesterday an October 23rd article saying, looking back, looking forward, cancer and vaccines. So he walks through the vaccine history, illustrating the presence. They call these retroviruses adventitious agents and contaminants, so of in viral vaccines, but it's actually in many other vaccines because they're like captured onto the aluminum and things like this, which is what Dr. Shah presented at one conversation at a time. So we've talked about the monkey virus, SV40, in polio vaccines, about the pig retroviruses in the rotavirus vaccines, you know, and what you see on the CDC website in excipient list, oh, but they don't hurt people. And yet back in the 80s and 90s, when I'm working with HIV, we didn't do transplants with pig organs or pig for cardiovascular pig veins because they contain these retroviruses and in an immune compromise, meaning an AIDS patient, a cancer patient, a child without a fully developed immune system, somebody in puberty. In immune compromised individuals, you have the risk of developing cancers and unknown diseases from these retroviruses. So I'm literally walking down the bullet points in this article. So
yeah, no, I'm sitting here looking at this, you know, given a little bit of history and when they knew and how they knew and from different animals that did and caused and all that. I'm going, damn, man, this is, it's not like a secret. And RFK Jr. is, what role is he playing in this? This came from Children's Health Defense, Kennedy News and Views, him, you know, discussing this. And I'm wondering, I thought the Trump administration embraced him. They're going to go fix something.
Well, I think he's taken it on largely upon himself because he's failing to get the support. At least above board that most of the public knows, he's failing to get the support, of the Trump administration. Obviously, they've got a lot of problems to solve, but I think there's nothing more important than our children's health. So I think Bobby and Del Bigtree, who hosted or set up, the one conversation at a time, along with Dr. Kreuner and Brittany Vallis. I mean, you know, we're continuing on, and I work with any and all and support these and send resources and money to help change the health of our children because there's nothing more important. And so I think he's doing it largely on his own. This is a nonprofit organization, the Children's Health Defense Fund, and it's doing things like we talked about several weeks ago where it revealed and filed a lawsuit against the federal government, showing, in fact, that in the 32 years that the federal government was supposed to take over the safety studies, the liability.
Fix the time on these. Yeah, it's, you know, I'm wondering where the solution is coming. Is there one? Is there, God, man, even a campaign? If anybody even mentioned this stuff during a campaign season, you know, or ever did, and then they come up for campaign, the pharma industry would come after them big time. So where's the solution going to come from? The courts? They're not even allowed.
Love what we do? Please help support our international satellite channels at patreon.lrn.fm. That's patreon.lrn.fm.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
It's Dr. Judy Mikovits. We're just yakking it. You know, one thing I wanted to get your opinion on. Recently, a judge upholds a Monsanto verdict, but he cut the award down to $78 million from, I don't know, it was $250 million. And I'm wondering how that system works. If a jury goes, yep, you know, we say you're bad, you're really bad, and we think you owe this, and then a judge can set aside the verdict and just say, no, I changed my mind. Or he come out and, yeah, it's just the cost of doing business, man. We just do $78 million, ain't no thing. So I'm just wondering, how does the court system work on that, that a judge gets to change the verdict amount?
Well, you know, the judges are given, essentially, way too much power. This is, these so-called special masters, they're not even judges in vaccine court. You know, they can basically just throw this stuff out, which is what they did to this young woman and what they've done to essentially every case I've ever seen, except a few. They've shown corruption and you know, judges do this because, the 200 and some, million cripples the industry. The $78 million is like, hey, we don't care. We make so much from Roundup and glyphosate. We'll just keep moving on and we don't care. So, there's one number it's not just the cost of doing business, and the corporate structure can't absorb that kind of loss because there are thousands of cases behind it. So the judge, they have the power essentially to do anything they want.
And eventually it gets to the justification that, well, it's a national security thing or some crap like that.
Right. Oh, well, and he'll be dead anyway in a few years. Not the point. You've destroyed his family and millions of other families around the world. Not the point. So in the case of vaccine court, there was more than 5,000 cases of autism back in early 2000 in vaccine court, and they threw them all away on what has now been proven to be fraud by the DOJ, the Department of Justice lawyer, that person sitting across the table from me, saying somehow I have a checkered past when they're committing federal crimes against our children and paid handsomely to do so. You know, these judges are paid handsomely to do so.
Are they judges?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's. I mean, the lawyers, the judges.
Well, I mean, they're judges. I mean, what kind of judge are you? Got this vaccine court? They created this thing. I mean,
Kangaroo court, and the people that were in there. You know, it's an unmarked building right in the middle of the heart of D.C. Why is it an unmarked building? Why does nobody know this court even exists? Why does nobody show up and watch these proceedings?
Okay, the solution is getting to be what? Just public awareness? Just people not doing it? I mean, is that the best thing? I had some good friends. I remember when we went years ago when we went to the Vaxxed road show that Dell Bigtree, I just talked to him here recently, and Dell went around in the RV, expressing and promoting the movie coming out and all the controversy with that and so on. And I left there with some printed material and so on. And right by there in Paradise Valleys, a good friend of mine lives there, and he and his wife just came over for dinner Sunday or Saturday. Was it Saturday? Yeah, Saturday just came over for dinner. And their youngest daughter is about 22, 23, 24, 25, mid-20s. And she's a baby delivery nurse. When she was, and she was getting ready for her wedding, and so I just went by and say, yo, what's up? And we saw her at the wedding later. And I said, yeah, I just came from this thing down the street. I happened to be up here, and, you know, and here's a pamphlet, you know, on it here. You know, take, oh, you know, a bunch of crazy anti-vaxxers. All right, well, you know, it's not time to talk about it. When her parents were here, I mentioned it to them, you know, what's her view on this now? Well, they, you know, we got to have a conversation and just give them some of the tidbits of the real news. And they've known me for a long time. They know that I don't BS them. And I always come across in years ahead of my time on this kind of crap. And so he was libertarian before I was. I mean, back in the late 80s, early 90s, you know, so he gets it. Well, he's really, what should we watch? And I go, well, Vax was the movie that we were talking about, Trace Amounts. You watch Trace Amounts, and we finally found out from my son. We were worried that our youngest, her family, was all about got vaccine, get some vaccination of vaccine. Had him watch Trace Amounts. He agreed to watch one thing. So they've held off and done individual vaccines one at a time, held off and at a schedule over years of the, they still convinced they want to do it, but they're at least going to do it by the recommendations of these people. Aren't necessarily anti-vaccine. They want clean vaccines, and you don't lump them all together, and you sure as hell don't do 70 something by the time, you know, they can freaking before they can walk. So they are taking it seriously, and they're doing something different. So I guess that one has gotten some of the vaccines as individual doses for individual ones. So they've taken it seriously. They're not as unvaccinated on, we just found our youngest child, because of pressure from the other side of the family. But they did alter it and try to make it safer and not damaged as far as we can tell yet. But even just the flu shots now that they're put, hell, I saw somewhere, hell, they give you a $5 coupon or something. If you, they're just like, you know, come get your free, damn it, get your vaccine, damn it. You know, this is a why? Because they love us that much, or they're trying to get us sick for payoff later?
Right. Well, the answer has to be get us sick for payoff later, and it's not even later. It's almost immediately. It's all the children with asthma. It's all the children with eczema and atopic dermatitis and you name it, eye injuries. Look at all the kids with glasses. We know that eye and ear damage, hearing sensitivities are from these shots.
You know, that's one thing. That's a good point. I remember when I first started going to school, when would that be? It'd be like late 60s, 67, 68. At that time, you had the thalidomide, the morning sickness thing that caused birth defects. So there was, you know, one or two kids out of the whole school that had undeveloped hands or some, there was some birth defect. I remember doing March of Dimes stuff when I was a kid and so on. So the you had like, you know, one or two. Well, that was a, you know, pharmaceutical thing, and the people didn't like that. So then you got the March of Dimes, and hell, they're the ones, you know, behind whatever. So then you go obesity. There was, yeah, you had the one or two fat kids, you know, that, you know, you got that going on. And then you had glasses. I don't remember near as many people or kids wearing glasses, and I don't think it was because, you know, they just didn't get diagnosed. I mean, if you can see or you can't. But there are so many of these kind of little bitty problems that it's created a gazillion dollars for the healthcare industry and, you know, the surrounding cloud around that stuff. That's where they're making their money.
Correct. And just like, but even worse, just as we were saying with these cancer centers. I mean, here in the San Diego area, just cancer center after cancer center after cancer center in Ventura, where we live part of the time. You know, huge buildings going up, and it's like, well, wait a minute. When the National Cancer Institute was formed, I think most people remember, I think it was Teddy Kennedy's son had a bone cancer and lost part of his leg. And this was, this was the early 60s, mid-60s or so, like you said, when, and I think it was the war on cancer in 1968. At that time, you didn't know anybody. It was 1 in 10. It was a closet disease. We didn't know anything. And here this article is saying, and the FDA says, well, we have to have these animal cell lines transmitting these retroviral diseases, including cancer. We have to have them because that's the only way we can grow the viruses for our vaccines. And they said, oh, if these tumor-derived and tumor-causing cell lines, come into use, would they cause the worst-case scenario? And the answer is yes. That's what our work found in 2011. That's why they shut us down. 2011, now 7 years ago, how many of these diseases could they have prevented by stopping it right then and there when they should have? But they can't, because then they would have to compensate these people. And just as in those 5,000 kids where vaccines caused autism in a significant portion, would have broken the bank of the American economy. It would have been trillions of dollars, and it would have ended the vaccine program then. And now it's 10 times worse.
Wow. And they start purging because talking about this is fake news, which is a ban. There's a phrase, fake news is being banned in the United Kingdom. You're not even allowed to say it.
Right. Oh, even worse, Ernie. It's even worse there in education. We're teaching our doctors. We've taken this out of the medical literature. We're teaching our doctors it doesn't exist. So when the fraud is at the level of the medical literature, making our science paper go away so that the honest doctors can't see the literature. So this is like the doctors who were silenced, the paneling experts. You know, they're pro-vaccines because this literature has been removed from their education. So they do think we are crazy because the literature doesn't exist anymore.
You know, my friends, he knows. I mean, he's been around long enough that we know. And I go, oh, they wouldn't lie. That'd be wrong. But but when you're talking to a young baby nurse that comes out of school and they think it wasn't time. They go, did you tell her all this? I go, no. Because she's getting ready for a wedding. She was there with her maid of honor or one of her friends or something. And they were, it wasn't the time for me to go try and learn a fire. So I just left her with I go, this is going to come up. Christy, I just want to make sure, it's coming up. Well, how's the wedding? I didn't want to make a big deal out of it then. But her parents, they watch one of these movies. Donna, Cinda, Scott and Kim, Trace Amounts and Vaxxed. Just find the embeds for that, we probably have it on Freedom's Phoenix, or just send it to them and say, you guys watch this, you'll get it. And it had an impact on my son and his in-laws to the point that they compromised on, doing it much. But still, you're still getting these, there were some of them that were worse than others. But it's still,
right.
I'm like, right. Nah. Because there is... You can do vaccinations that don't have all this stuff. There are safe vaccinations out there. Do they even exist?
Correct. And yes, they not in today's schedule, but in the meeting I went to in medical marijuana for MDs in Denver last week, I actually showed a slide, the last slide of my talk, and I'll send that to you so you can post that talk, where we actually know that if we block the cannabinoid signaling of our blood cells, of our immune cells, we can increase the efficacy, meaning make 10 times more antibodies and take all this aluminum out. We can make safe vaccines, but we're not allowed because then it proves what they've been doing is proving our point for causing these diseases.
So who's to blame here? I mean, is it some evil force, devil worshiping pharma Nazi Germany holdover of whatever the heck, or is it just an industry trying to make money? Is it the sales guys or sociopathic freaking politics? I mean, there's something, it leaks from the top. I mean, it's just something somewhere.
It's
what is
the entire Health and Human Services. So now, for now, more than 40 years, since the cover-up surrounding HIV and AIDS in this country for 40 years. It's the entire Health and Human Services. It's the CDC. It's the FDA. It's the NIH.
Yeah, but no, that's a mechanism, you know, where it's coming from. But these people are influenced and bought off and paid and, you know, regulatory capture to somebody from somewhere. What?
Pharmaceutical companies.
Okay, now you got pharmaceutical companies. The board of directors, is it one science, one CEO? Is it a sales force of we want to keep getting rich? I mean, it's somebody something. I mean,
they're trillions of dollars.
This is something that you go after their stock. You go after, you go to the board of directors, you go to the stockholders, you buy some stock, you go to the meeting, and you start passing out this stuff to everybody, and look, now you know. These people that are causing this, that are benefiting from this, if you hit them, I tell you where you always have the most impact, tell you, every time, the pocketbook. And if you're going at their shareholders, go, look, this is coming. This is done. This is already baked in the cake. This is, where are you at? I mean, hell, I remember Charlton Heston gets Time Warner stock to go up there and complain about musical artists that were doing We Hate Cops raps. I mean, you know, he's going, why are you investing in a company that's promoting, you know, cop hate or whatever the heck it was? Then you have, you know, on video games, you know, violence for kids. And then it's on, there's always something that you're going after. You're buying stock and supporting these companies. They're killing little bee babies. And I'm going, where is that campaign going against, you know, just the social aspect of this? Because then you'll have, you know, hedge funds that will buy this. That, you know, and there was a group called Alanova. I remember they were promoting on our site. They're a progressive group out of Air America days. And they were, you know, don't buy these products that, you know, do this or don't have that for their employee or they cause damage environmental or whatever. So I'm going, it would be, there's a lot of these different kind of green list of stock purchases if we want to not, you know, fund the evil of the world. Of which this is way bad, big time on the tippy top of that. So I'm wondering if there is an effort to educate stockholders, boards of directors. Well, of course, these guys are all, you know.
Right. But what we talked about at the beginning of the show, what sends the biggest message to Monsanto and Bayer and their stockholders, but $200 million or whatever it was, award to a single injured individual. So that's the effect of reducing it to 78. At what point do you tell the shareholders? I mean, I bet every shareholder's out there, you know, and it rocked the companies, I guarantee you. But
well, yeah, but you know,
they can convince them.
Okay, well, they got it down to 70 whatever. Does that mean I get paid tomorrow? I mean, is the guy going to get a check? Or are they going to be dragging that out?
No, they'll drag that out. I don't think that man didn't do it for himself. That man did it for the rest of the world.
Yeah, if he's only got a couple of years, dead. I mean, he's 78, yeah, you know, exactly. It'd be hard for him to spend that really fast. But, you know, but I'm looking at, you know, so what? You know, when's he going to, okay, does that mean I get it now? Is it in my check account? You know, am I got, you know, well, maybe not so much. You know, right. So I'm interested in when he actually gets paid. I'd be like, yeah, $78 million, fork it over. You know, yeah. I had me some fun with $78 million. I could kick your ass. Well, they, you know, they're like, nah, it wouldn't be prudent at this juncture. So every system in this world is corrupted by those that can capture the system, and it's not like they don't have enough money, and then it's to make more. It's just like. Like our relationship with Israel, you know, you give them gazillions of dollars, and then they take that gazillions of dollars and they buy more congressmen to give them more gazillion dollars. So I'm, you know, and it's not like this is any different, you know. It's just some special pick your special interest, and they're going to take whatever money they get to make sure they keep getting more money.
Correct. Yep.
Regardless.
So all we can do as individuals and is take back our freedoms and say, no, you won't inject me with anything. No, no.
Well, this is the one thing that, you know, my friend said about their daughter. They go, she works for Banner Health. Now, Banner is one of the worst of them. They are like, everybody's got to get the shot at everybody. You know,
that's right. So at some point, she has to decide for herself. You know, it's interesting, Ernie. My niece got married on October 13th. She just graduated from medical school in May. So I haven't had the conversation either. But I haven't given her medical school graduation present because I can guarantee you what book she's going to get. And I've thought long and hard about how to have this conversation. She, the man she married is also going to be a doctor here in a couple of months. So the whole family is doctors. There's a huge opportunity, but I have to learn how to have the conversation. So I've done exactly what you did. I'm waiting for the right time.
Trace amounts.
Yeah, all of it. Trace Vaxed. Amounts. Vaxxed, dissolving illusions. I've got the books just lined up on my shelf, ready to give. The Crooked Smile, you know, they're everything. The J.B. Handley's new books. I mean, everything. I've lined them up. She's going to get it.
Oh, yeah. Who's going to read? I, you know, give me an hour and a half video, and, you know, maybe you'll get me.
Well, I'll give them the hour and a half video, but these are scientists, and I mean, these are physicians. They're not scientists. That's one of the oxymorons in our culture. Scientists are not physicians, and physicians are not scientists. So in the vaccine court, all they ever say is the only person that knows the only person that can know the damage a vaccine does is a physician, not a PhD who developed the damn drug. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, so you know, that's one thing that
can opine aren't allowed to.
You know, I remember it was when was it? It was probably mid-2000s. It was after broadband internet became a thing. And people had access to a lot of information. And you would, you know, you have some, and my kids were, you know, they're the front wave of technology. They know, hell, if dad can do it, they sure as heck would be able to. You know, so they did a lot of research. They had different symptoms. They go on to WebMD or they just, you know, look for anecdotal, you know, somebody did of Google search or something, you know, and another engines. So they come up with this information. They go, yeah, this seems like it. They go to the doctor. And they have all this information, and they couldn't just go and try something or get something, or maybe they just wanted another opinion, but they had to go to a physician, and he would, you know, validate or prescribe or, you know, whatever the hell they do, or, you know, you know, give them some kind of, you know, recognition that they did some research. They go in, and you did any research whatsoever, they're pissed. They did not want you because you knew more than they did about whatever it was. And I'm going, they don't like an informed patient at all. Now, it's getting better, or you can find doctors
I think it's getting better.
Well, you have more options.
Yeah.
You know, there are doctors certainly here, like Dr. Frank Tamburi is. He's speaking in Hawaii on a prostate cancer thing and so on, and he's going to Iceland. He was telling the story yesterday that the conference in Iceland, there he didn't find out until later after they confirmed that he was a speaker because he's well-known for what he does. And he goes, there was an uproar. That a naturopath, that doctor, they freaked out. You can't have this, you know, crazy man. And they go, look, man, the boy's, you know, top of his game here. He's doing, you know, great work. He's speaking, get over it. But there was a, like, a protest of even, oh, how would you sully us with, you know, one of these that aren't the MD? So I'm going, really? Well, what are they protecting? You know, what is it that they're afraid of? Informed options.
Right, informed consent. That's what all of our movement is about, is informed consent. And so that's what they do to me. You know, oh, you can't speak at our conference. You can't play in any reindeer games anymore. You're out. You know, we discovered the entire field of disease-causing human retroviruses and how they cause disease. And we can't be involved in any of these meetings. But there are people now, like the cannabis for MDs right there, your own Serrera and Undo, Serrera Cordoba, right there invited us. And there were 400 MDs, PhDs, nurses in that audience that can see the value of cannabis in vaccine injury and vaccine-caused diseases and injury.
Yeah, but all you did is created another industry and a solution for another plant to cure a problem that they keep causing anyway. It's just more money for them.
Don't you want a solution for your granddaughter who got hurt? Don't you want a solution for the kids that are going to get hurt? You know, if we have solutions and we can heal it, You know, it's at least a start. And I always teach the doctors to recognize the injury as soon as possible. And that way those children or those people never have to get another
shot. You know, my step-granddaughter, she's 15 now. And last year she went five times to the hospital complaining. And she's like, and she's a top athlete. She was on, a path Olympic skoccer, blah, blah, blah. And now she's, she's really this weekend, for all of last year. And this is the first time that she's going to actually participate in a soccer game. And she's got enough energy to, start doing that. And she's been, her whole life has been changed by this thing. And she got five times she goes to the doctor and they just, here's some Tylenol and painkiller, get the headache, get out of here. And they kept taking her. They go, look, something's wrong. And finally, when she went back and she was trying to describe something as red or a color or something, and she's talking about garage doors or something. I mean, it was some wiring thing. It was fried in her brain. They go, whoa, I think we got us a problem now. Found out she had fungal meningitis. It infected her brain and spinal column. And she was jacked up. She couldn't take. So I didn't even go visit her in the hospital because she was so sensitive to noise and light and everything. And you don't just the stress of having loud grandpa come is not, good. So I'm just like, no, we'll see when she comes out and, and you get well and better. And then we started talking to you and getting some more information, looking up the, and I talked to her biological father. They're still very close and the whole family, they're all good. And he was at her sister or another daughter's volleyball game. We were talking. He goes, this is a thing. And we are, he's taken to where he's going to be taking her to California to do some oxygen therapy and some hyperbolic stuff and some other alternative, whatever the heck. And I go, well, hell, we know places here that my daughter and son-in-law use out of Scottsdale and got a discount deal on whatever because it was helping her stuff. So I see it that the medical industry here, they're not about fixing or curing or understanding. It's just it's conveyor belt. And a lot of it's to make you sick so you get back on the conveyor belt.
More or less. And they don't understand, as you said.
They just, don't want
Tylenol cripples the liver. So, so they're treating it with things that Band-Aid and mask, and the underlying process goes on until, boom, the person's crippled. And then they're part of the system forever. And so, but that's why... That's why we need to keep, and there are good places in Scottsdale, but that's why what we do in Mark Inc. is we teach the doctors, because I won't believe anybody like your friend's daughter there, the nurse, and or my niece, the doctors. I don't believe you work that hard if you don't want to heal people, and I mean cure them, not just put them as part of a conveyor belt.
Yeah.
So that's our thesis for everything.
Well, we're going to keep doing these shows as we progress through this, so the more and more audience, and we may be adding another network here directly, and that'll be a whole new fresh field to plow. And we do this. This is going to. It's a tidal wave. It's a tsunami. That's just the tides rising and everything. And sooner or later, it's when it starts going out, it's going to sweep it clean of a bunch of stuff. And I just want to be on the right side of, save the children, because we've worked really hard on as much as we can with our grandchildren, and it's had a big impact, with your help. Thank you. But I just, this is a tsunami that's not going away. And I'm wondering, are you satisfied with the Trump thing? Are they, making headways? Is it going to be, maybe they'll do some more stuff after midterm or what?
I think I am satisfied with the Trump thing, largely because while there's not overt support, the other side is attacking Trump. And attacking, so just last week something came out where somebody said, one of these corrupt doctors, Dr. Offit or somebody said, Trump's child has autism and that's his bias or Asperger's or whatever they called it. So we can get on that for the next talk. But I think there's an awareness, and I think the kinds of moves, I think I mentioned it before, for us, Kavanaugh, you know, a constitutionalist on the Supreme Court. It's the 1986 law, when Ronald Reagan signed it, he said it's unconstitutional. It's unconstitutional. Part of the bribes for the parents is their children can't go to school. So we talked earlier about the incentive programs, and I'll send you a paper about, you know, government published paper saying, oh, the incentive programs, how do they work? Oh, well, if you threaten parents with their children can't go to school, or nurses that they can't have a job, what do they do? So I think just having a constitutional law. What I want is the 1986 law repealed. It's unconstitutional. You can't take away an education in this country by forcing something toxic to be injected, by forcing anything on, you know, taking away our liberties. That's what we're all about. And so I think he's doing things, and I'd be happy to. I just think they're in a different way that none of us expect, and that might keep us all safe. But I'm delighted with what Bobby Kennedy's doing with the Children's Defense Fund, by what Del Bigtree and company continue to do. I do believe the tsunami is very close to just blowing this whole thing apart.
Yeah,
I'm an optimist.
Well, it seems no. I mean, it always comes out eventually. I mean, it always does. It's just who, you know, gets credit, and whether it really gets fixed, or it's just a Band-Aid or whitewash or whatever. And the Trump style seems to be that he gathers evidence, stories, people get kind of, and then he uses it for art of the deal. He's like, all right, how are we going to deal with this? Now, you guys are going to do what you need to do, or we're going to come after, and you get in line with the other thousands of guys that's getting indicted and frog marched with handcuffs around for the American public. Who wants to play? And just the threat has got them scared, and we'll see what happens. He's yet to pull the trigger on anything. It's all been art of the deal. It's been by, right, I'm president and you're not, Leslie Stahl. So, you know, I'm still waiting for the trigger to be pulled. And I was thinking that a lot of it, they were talking about October. Right? Well, October is almost done, so we'll see what happens. He's doing well in the midterms, maybe. We'll see. And depending on, we just did election fraud thing in the last hour, and I'm just like, yeah, I already know where this goes. But I'm thinking that if the Republicans prevail in the House and Senate in the midterm, and we're not sitting there screaming about impeachment crap all the time, and he doesn't do the big arrest of whatever, that I'm thinking that he maybe have enough hand inside the government to make a lot of changes. Will he? Or will he use that as a negotiating piece to get, I don't know, more bombs or something? So I don't trust the system. There's something, truth, justice in the American way is not the goal. That's just a promise to get to whatever the goal is that they want to do. That's why I put my faith in individuals and technology and empowerment of the individual and decentralization of power down to individuals, you know, that kind of stuff. But they need this kind of information to be empowered with the information. You know, you duck left or right. I mean, your whole life could be determined by that decision. So I want to help with uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies, which you help a lot with. Thank you. So this is, I'm interested in the behind the scenes. Now, the CDC, there's been some change. You know, you got, you know, death and dying and destruction, the doctors here, and this guy said that, so he wound up in a river, and these people get the motive. You know, the guy, what was his name that revealed the information of the cooked books on the study to Hooker? What was that?
Dr. Thompson. William Thompson.
Now, Thompson, is he still employed by the CDC, and they got him in a desk in the basement somewhere, a whistleblower thing, or what?
Yes.
So he's still employed.
He's still employed. He makes his $250,000 a year. He's protected, and they've got him in the basement somewhere, and they don't let him out.
All right. Well, I mean, he gets to go home.
And others like Timothy Cunningham, who talks out without that protection, ended up dead. People like me who talk out without that protection end up economically dead. And they hope that'll shut me up, but people like you allow me to continue to talk.
Well, it might be time to do another vaccine education summit. Give me a list. Maybe we just, bring the crew back together, or, parts of them or some of them or something. I would be willing to do that. I think there's a timing thing. We'll pick the right time here and do that again, because it'd be a lot more people coming. We had, probably 80 people then, but I'd like, because we did it in like 2 weeks, 10 days. I'm like, boom, we got to do this now. We got to get it out. Exactly. But the audio quality on the videos was not, what I'd like. They got it figured out, but, But I want to get a good quality summit again, and we need to help me with that with some names again, and maybe we'll do that. Because I think... Yeah, I can come out revenue neutral on that. I don't mind putting forth the effort. I ain't got $1 billion to keep spending on this stuff. But, we can come out ahead on this thing. Yeah, we'll do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think we can maybe talk Dell into doing it, because he's the one that they put together a real good film crew, a real good quality. Take a look at oneconversationatatime.com and look at it and see what you think. And let's go for it, because those people could join us.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see it if you wanted. I can run through the audience and ask questions.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and talk to Dell. I talked to him recently. I'm sure he'd be in. We got the right date. And so see if you can coordinate something with some of the main guys that you want to participate. And I'll get the contract and location and the stuff, and we'll do it up. Because I think it's about time. I probably will do it. Okay. This is when we usually do this kind of stuff, when we really want to have a political impact. The second Monday in January is the beginning of the legislative session in the State of the State address by the governor here in Arizona. So it's after the holidays. You got all the, but it's an expensive time for the hotels and so on to be doing this on a weekend or something. We might need to do it on a Thursday night or some crap like that. But
that's easy enough.
I'm sorry?
That's easy enough. Thursday night, a different time, but that gives people, or even Thursday and Friday evenings, give a lot of people a chance to come out. That's what this was in Atlanta. It was a Thursday evening, I think.
Yeah, do 2-3 hour segments or something.
Yep.
And, maybe we can do something. We'll see if we can work it out. I like doing the one day Saturday thing, because you just get the whole day. Well, but it needs to be before the second Monday, right before the legislative session, because the.
That's a good point, because that Monday, and that might give us the Saturday, because that Monday, somewhere always around the 13th or 14th, is Martin Luther King Day.
Right. Oh, yeah, get the, young black baby males are 4 times more affected. Yeah. Okay, well, I think I got to confirm it, but I think it's the 14th is the Monday that it goes into session. So that week before is when we do all this kind of stuff and you get some press and kind of, but they wouldn't be digging this at all, man. They don't like it. And so we kind of snuck it in them on before, and they're like, damn it. I hate when they do that. So, early January, the first half of January, sometime we could come out. I'd like to do it in one day. It'd be the 5th, the 6th, the 12th, or the 13th. It's a Saturday or Sunday. And because if we're going to do it, and you don't want it to be more than 6 hours or something, or maybe it's just one, 3 hour.
I like the 12th. I like the 12th or the 13th.
Okay. All right. Well, think of that and let me know, because we
got to. Got over the holidays, so look at it, but see if you can start with our favorites being the 12th or the 13th.
Okay. Well, no, I can contact. I'll find a place. I mean, we'll, do it. And it depends what we need. I want to do a one-day thing, because then it's not $1 billion. I got to guarantee rooms and all this other crap. But,
a nice convention center.
I'm sorry?
Right. You have a nice convention center down there in Phoenix. It's right across from... there's lots of hotels
downtown. There's a lot of places. I mean, I'm not counting on a big giant. It could be. I mean, I have no idea. You get, I always seems for these summits, the best the sweet spot is between 120 and 250 people. If you get at least 120, it gets a real good vibe. You get over 250 and it kind of loses its intimacy. You know, a lot of people that want to talk to you don't get to. So I'm not for making it a big giant thing. I mean, we could. I mean, we'll see how it goes. But for people to really get learnified, yeah. But the last time we had it, there was a lot of parents and grandparents and people, the extended family that were affected by it. I would like to focus more on the healthcare industry and, you know, actually attack some of these guys, and legislators are going in. They already, by that time, that week, they will already have pre-filed bills, because you're once the session starts, I think they limit them to 5-10 bills or something that you can do. Of course, they do a strike everything on 15 gazillion others that are there. But the week before the legislative session starts is when they do all their special interest payoff crap, you know, and they file pre-files everything. And I guarantee that Big Pharma is going to have a whole crap load of bills that are going to be sitting right there that we can go, you see? Here it is. And if we do it on the 12th and 13th, those bills will have already been filed.
Oh, okay. So maybe the week earlier.
No.
Or that's a good
time. No, that's so a good time, because you want to, if you do it the week before, they will not have filed them already.
Oh, great. Oh, great.
So they're filing like the 7th to the 11th, you know, here they go. You know, I mean, there's going to be a gazillion pre-files of there, I paid off my special interest or whatever. Now you go spend the gazillions of dollars to get it passed through and, you know, bribe legislators. I mean, you know, that's just how it works. So I've been through this, you know, for 30 years. I know exactly how it works. So that week before, from like the 1st of January to the 11th of January, you're going to have mountains of thousands of bills that are going to be filed, and you just go through them. And now you can do it online. We used to have a drawer we had to go get every day and pull all that stuff out. They threw them away. So now we do it online, and you have your people looking at. We get, you know, Ira and some of the people around here saying, look, you know, just go through the bills here. Use these words, you know, vaccine, health, shot, immunization, whatever, some key words. Right. Boom, it'll blow up all over the place. Evaluate them, go in and go, we see you.
Right.
How we roll. All right, well, go ahead, and I'm going to leave it up to you to come up with the name people that should be included, but it's only at the most, it would be, probably need to do shorter presentations, 20 to 30 minutes, skip to the end, and then count on, you know, on the weekend, probably it'd be like 6 hours of talk, so that will give you like, you know, 8 to 10 slots and maybe some special breakout something. So
we love those panels. They worked really well the last time.
All right. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, you can do those towards the end, and with everybody included after everybody gets a little bit informed. But yeah, I'm willing to help on that. I think it's time. You know, we're getting into legislature, because you know they're going to be coming after Arizona because our nail's sticking up the highest.
Right. Exactly.
It's always Arizona. Man, here comes the hammer. So I go, all right, you want to play hammer? Let's hammer.
Okay.
And then I get audited. Yeah, that's just the way it is.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Thanks, all right. Dr. Judy.
Sure. Thanks, Ernie. Bye-bye. Talk soon. All right.